Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing, Health and Wellness with Violet. I noticed that we will find the dumbest reasons to fight about stuff, and we'll absolutely miss the point while we're fighting about important topics that we should be learning rather than fighting. I've been watching a lot of videos lately, and I'm reading a lot of articles about intermittent fasting, one meal a day, time-restricted eating, and the back and forth about this just makes me realize that people are missing the point. The whole point of that is to recycle the cells in your body that are not functioning correctly. First, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Violet Rivera. I'm a psychologist. I work out of Montreal, Canada. And the reason I make these videos is I think that when we understand information, we do better. When we know why we're trying to do what we're trying to do, especially when we're talking about our health, especially when we're talking about weight management, if we don't understand why we're doing what we're doing, I find that we tend to make mistakes because we do things either partially or incorrectly, focusing on the wrong things. So let's talk about fasting and how it all relates to intermittent fasting, one meal a day, and time-restricted eating, because those are the things that people in the weight loss world, people in the keto, low-carb, high-fat world, those are things that we tend to be doing. Okay, first thing I want to point out is I think everybody agrees that reducing carbohydrate intake is important if you're going to get your insulin under control. The more carbs you eat, the higher your insulin is, leading to insulin resistance, eventually leading to diabetes and heart disease, Alzheimer's, and all kinds of other things. I think we all agree on that. All the doctors are saying the same thing. All the doctors in the keto world, all the doctors who understand carbohydrates' relationship to health are saying the same thing. Let me be clear. Whether or not you're doing intermittent fasting, which we would define as a few days a week going a certain number of hours where you're not eating, or whether you're doing time-restricted eating, which would mean that every day you're doing periods of times where you're not eating, or you're doing one meal a day, which means you're doing 23-ish hours a day without eating, we can agree that by doing any one of those types of eating, you will be introducing fewer carbohydrates to your body. So the first thing that we can all agree on is that any type of restricted eating leads to, or any type of fasting, if you want to call it that, leads to ingesting fewer carbs, which we all agree is healthy. This is helpful because during the time that you're not eating, your body can actually focus on cleaning up the interior. So eliminating any damaged cells that happen to be floating around in your system. And the most vocal doctor that I've seen talking about this is Dr. Jason Fung. And he's very, very adamant that the best thing that we can do to improve our overall health is to spend some periods of time fasting. It allows your body to heal itself, to repair itself, to eliminate cells that shouldn't be there. Get your system running efficiently. Considering that I'm talking to you guys over the internet, on probably a computer or a cell phone or something, I think the easiest example I can give you to help you to understand what we're talking about is the idea of a computer. When your computer has old files on it that are clogging it up, slowing it down, when your computer has old programs on it or your cell phone has programs on it that you're not using, it slows the system down. It clogs the system up, and sometimes it will even stop programs from opening correctly. So the programs will function poorly because there's too much in the system. I would say that autophagy is the body's example of clearing out the old files, clearing out the old programs. When you take the time to delete all that stuff off your computer or all that stuff off your cell phone, when you do a defrag of your computer and get everything back in order and like rebuild the new stuff, so take out the old and put in some new and reorganize it and put it nice and fresh, what happens? The computer works as if it were brand new again. The cell phone works as if it was brand new again. Every once in a while, we have to just reboot the system. Every once in a while, we need to clear out old files. Our body is like that. We need to keep our body running smoothly if we want to be able to live into old age. What Dr. Fung explained is that our bodies can do this all by themselves, but they need the time to do it. Your body functions in a very efficient way. So when it's working on something, it gives its energy to that. And then when it's working on something else, it will give its energy to something else. So while your body is processing food, it's not processing cleanup. So one of the things that Dr. Fung points out is that in order to allow your body to have time to do cleanup, we need to have time where it's not processing food. These two activities are very energy intensive, and so therefore your body has to focus on one at a time. Is there any benefit to being hungry and not eating food? From my understanding of what we're trying to accomplish, the answer to that question is no. I agree. If you are hungry, you should eat. The same way that if you're not hungry, you shouldn't be eating. So now what we need to ask ourselves then is, how are people accomplishing fasting? If when we're hungry, we should eat. Okay, by this point, I would probably say that the people watching this video are people who are either doing keto or low carb, high fat. You're in some form of weight management that you're watching an intermittent fasting video. So by this point, I'm going to say that the people who are doing keto and low carb, high fat understand the difference between physical hunger and psychological hunger. Okay, so let's look at that. When you were physically hungry, it's because your brain is getting signals that's telling you that your body needs energy. So what's happening is you've used the energy that was available. Your body needs some energy. Your brain gets a signal saying it's time to eat. You go and look for something to eat because you feel hungry and it's pushing you to eat. Okay, compared to psychological hunger, which is you get a cue from the environment that it's time to eat. For example, it's lunchtime. For example, someone offered you food. For example, you think about something tasty or you see a commercial of something tasty. Those are not actual physiological signs. Those are psychological signs that have nothing to do with what your body is requesting. When we do a low carb, high fat diet, what we learn, and especially if we're doing keto numbers, what we learn is that by keeping our carbohydrates low, we don't spike insulin as often, and therefore our body isn't getting hormone changes that tells it to look for food when we have enough energy on us in terms of fat to fuel us for several days. So because we're not getting an insulin spike, our hormones are not pushing us to seek food. That's a very condensed version of that. But the good part about that is that people doing a ketogenic diet learn that the snacks that we were eating, actually we didn't need them, right? We can eat breakfast, lunch, and supper and be fine with no snacks. I'm gonna take that a step further. People who do a ketogenic diet oftentimes get to the point where they're eating two meals because they're just not hungry in the morning. So they're not seeking a breakfast. Okay, so in that case, what we've already learned is that it is quite possible to distinguish and to learn to only follow the physiological signs of hunger. And that's why we eliminate the snacks easily. So here's the thing, what about those psychologicals? See, I feel like the thing that happens to us that we still don't really notice is that those psychological cues to eat are still there. So you will have people who are doing ketogenic lifestyles and low-carb, high-fat lifestyles who are still pulled towards wanting to eat at supper time or at lunchtime, even though physiologically they're not actually hungry. And sometimes it's out of fear, right? Because some people have a lunchtime that's very set, and if they don't eat at that time, they won't be able to eat for the rest of the day. So they will eat out of habit, not really realizing or not noticing, or maybe they do notice, but again, out of fear, and so not really recognizing that maybe they could have made it till supper. Now, again, not saying that if you are hungry physiologically, you shouldn't eat. So how do I know a psychological hunger? If I'm psychologically hungry, then we'll notice things like when I'm not able to eat at that moment, so the time passes, when I do have a moment to eat, I don't feel hungry anymore. Or if I'm psychologically hungry, but I decide to drink some water instead of getting food, the hunger goes away. If it's a psychological thing, just distracting myself causes me to not be hungry. If you are physically hungry, that doesn't happen. When we have that signal from our brain that's telling us time to eat, it doesn't go away. So again, understanding the difference between being psychologically hungry and being physically hungry is important if we're going to be able to understand how fasting can play a role in our lives and why people are able to fast. So how would this kind of information affect fasting? And how would it help people to stop arguing so much about fasting? I think the one thing that you'll notice is that if people would allow themselves to just recognize that I eat when I'm hungry and I don't eat when I'm not hungry, how many people would start skipping lunch or pushing their lunch back until they're hungry? So if I allow myself to only eat when I'm hungry, there's a number of people who would recognize that at lunchtime they're not hungry. Okay, again, if you're one of those situations where you're stuck and you have a set lunchtime, this could be a problematic because you won't be able to tell unless you pay very close attention to yourself on the weekends. Because on the weekends, then you have more flexibility. That's your time. So on the weekends, you would be able to take your time and try to figure out, so basically, if I only eat when I'm hungry on the weekends, how long do I go? So again, I do believe that there is a number of people who, out of fear, just eat lunch because it's lunchtime, and if I don't eat now, I won't have another chance. Whereas if they allowed themselves on the weekends to see, okay, how does it feel to me? Like, when do I actually end up being hungry? Well, then they would notice that, I'm not hungry at lunch, and I'm not hungry at 2 or 3, or like, oh, it's getting close to supper time, and okay, now I'm starting to be hungry. And at that moment, then you realize, theoretically, you could be in a one meal a day situation. You know, that's what happened to me. I went from eating lunch and supper. Well, actually, I went from eating breakfast, lunch, and supper when I started this way of eating. But prior to this way of eating, I was naturally eating lunch and supper because even on a carb-based diet, that's just the way it happened because I was busy, I was running, and the time to eat breakfast in the morning just wasn't available to me. And this is the other thing that happens to us, right? It's normal, it's natural, it's accepted that you're going to skip breakfast because, well, work is much more important, right? But then if you skip lunch, there's something wrong with you. I honestly believe that it's not about skipping anything. It really is, if I feel hungry, I should eat. If I'm not hungry, why am I eating? People who allow themselves to follow their body's rhythms, follow their actual indications, and actually test, am I actually hungry? Or is it just because it's noon that I'm thinking about food and I want to eat? And if you check that and you realize that the hunger goes away, yeah, it's because you were psychologically hungry, but not actually physically hungry. So what happens if I follow my body? You might find yourself in that situation that you're eating once a day. You might be eating two meals, but a bit closer together. So maybe lunch would be at 3 instead of noon. So you'd be doing a 3 and then a supper time, which if you think about it, it's still a better way of eating because it gives your body time to do its cleanup. If you're eating a very healthy, low carb, high fat, or a very healthy ketogenic diet, there's a big chance that you're eating very nutrient dense food. You're eating foods that are good quality proteins, good quality carbs like vegetables. And so basically what's going to end up happening is that when you do eat your meal, you are getting so many nutrients in that meal that after the meal, you're going to be able to go very long before you need to eat again. What's important to note when it comes to autophagy is that the longer you go without eating, the more cleanup happens. So if you eat at 8 a.m. and then are not hungry at lunchtime, so you don't eat lunch, and then you eat at supper time, that could be a good 10 to 12 hours later. And in terms of autophagy, that's great. You went 10 to 12 hours between meals. But in terms of strategically placing your meals, in actuality, it would be better for you to have your first meal be the lunch meal and then have supper, so that you would have had, instead of 12 hours between meals, because when you go to sleep and then you get up and you eat again tomorrow morning, that's going to be about 12-ish hours. So you're having 10 to 12 hours between each meal. It would be better for you to have 18-ish hours. So eat at let's say you eat at noon and then you eat at six, and then you have all that time between, because it takes us about 4 hours to digest our food. So the time that you actually have your body in autophagy is shorter if you do 12 to 12, versus if you eat both your meals in a 6 hour window and then have the timer, like from bedtime all the way around to lunchtime again, you're giving yourself much more time in autophagy. What we've learned, and again, Jason Fung has talked about this extensively, is that the more time you're in a state of autophagy, so the more time your body is dedicating to cleanup, the deeper and deeper the cleanup goes. So fasting for 12 hours is good. Fasting for 18 hours is better. Fasting for 24 hours, even better. 48, et cetera, et cetera. The longer you fast, the deeper the cleanup. So again, to give you the example of a computer, we all know that you can take a disk and you can do a quick format, which will just take the files off to make room for new files, or you could take a disk and do a full format, which erases everything, including the operating system, and you start from scratch. And it's like having a brand new disk. The more deeply you clean, so the more time you give your body to clean, the deeper it cleans, the more efficient your body becomes once you start eating again. What I've noticed is that the more you listen to your body, the better you're able to adjust with the minimal amount of discomfort. So what that meant for me was that I started off, like I said, doing two meals in a carbohydrate style diet. I went to three meals in a ketogenic style diet. And very quickly, I would say about 3 weeks in, I was doing two meals in a ketogenic style diet. And then it moved progressed from two meals that were a regular, lunch and supper, like noonish and supper time, for which for me was quite late, because I work in an office. So I was like sevenish, eightish. And then it went from noon until eightish till one, two, three, and it just kept getting pushed back, pushed back, pushed back, until eventually I was at the point where it didn't make sense for me to eat lunch because I'd be going home to have supper soon. So, and I wasn't hungry. That's the other point. It's like I'm trying to eat something, I'm not quite hungry yet, but at the same time, I know in a few hours I'm going to have a supper. Now, it does change what you're eating. In fairness, you're not going to eat a gigantic lunch and then a gigantic supper. So you have to modify what you're eating. But at the end of the day, you're eating what your body needs because your body is telling you what to do. Don't force yourself to not eat. If your body is physically asking for food, so again, if that hunger pain is not going away, it's because you need to eat. You might find it difficult because if you're in a work environment where everybody eats lunch at the same time, we all go down to the cafeteria or whatever. You might find it difficult to be in the cafeteria not eating, or to not go down to the cafeteria and chit chat with your coworkers. Your health, though. We have to think about our health. If cleaning up the system is going to be something that's going to help you to feel better, we have to ask ourselves, is it worth it to me to clean up the system? So, this is where some people would rather choose to do intermittent fasting, where they pick days where they're just going to fast, and it's a choice they're making because they know they can do it because they're not hungry. And their body can go certain periods of time without feeling hungry. And so, therefore, they know that they can get through a day of not eating because they've tried it and it felt okay. Everybody's different. You need to check it out and see what works for you. And you don't need to. That's the other part of this. If you don't want to check it out, don't check it out. If you want to check it out, you try and you see what feels good. How did I manage? And then you move from there. And you might decide that I can fast for certain periods of time, but then I need to eat. So maybe I'm getting through half the day and then I'm going to eat my lunch, and that's fine too. Or you might find that I can go past the day. And so doing intermittent fasting where I do a day of not eating every X number of days might suit your needs. Or you might want to be one of those people that prefers, like myself, where the schedule makes sense for me to have one meal a day because it's comfortable and I don't mind having one meal a day. It eliminates my need to bring a lunch to work. It eliminates the need for me sometimes to leave my office to go find a lunch. It means that I can work more through lunch because I don't need to stop to eat. And that's productive for me because, as you see, I make YouTube videos and I work for myself, and so it's productive for me to not have to stop for lunch. So everybody's different, and you need to figure out what's going to work for you. Take the time to figure it out and to double check with yourself. Am I really hungry, or am I eating out of habit? Am I eating because everybody else is eating? Am I eating because the time says it's time to eat? Because that's what you're doing. Is it really what you want to be doing? And especially if it's not towards the goals you have for yourself, because maybe you still have some weight you want to lose, or maybe you have some metabolic things that you want to solve. And not eating, as Jason Fung keeps telling us, if you're not eating, your body has a chance to work on itself. Is fasting necessary? No, not at all. If you're watching this video, I'm taking the big assumption that you're already doing some kind of healthy eating plan, whether it's low carb, high fat, whether it's keto, whether it's paleo. If you're watching this video, I believe that you're probably already doing something that's very healthy. And if you're not doing that already, don't start with fasting. Put yourself in a situation where fasting will be comfortable. Do paleo, do low carb, high fat, do keto. It'll be easier. And that's my honest opinion. Don't start with intermittent fasting. It's difficult when you're on a carb-based diet. But fasting is not imperative. It's just, it's a nice addition to the toolkit. It's one other thing you can do to get your body healthy fast. And I know I'm not saying that fast is the way that we have to go, but if you're already in a scenario where you're comfortable going long periods of time without eating, you'll be surprised how attempting a one-day fast feels comfortable. If you're already in that situation. If you're not there, don't do it. If you're not there, allow yourself to just start to notice, when am I actually hungry? And if you don't even want to do that, if you're very comfortable and you like eating and you like doing breakfast, lunch, and supper, then do that. The one thing I will say, if there's anything that you take away from this, the one thing I will say is do breakfast, lunch, and supper. Don't do snacks. If you like eating snacks, so for example, nuts, cheese, if you do make keto snacks, keto bombs, these kind of things, if there's anything that you take away from this, is please do not spike your insulin between meals. Eat your keto snacks, eat your nuts, eat your cheeses at the end of whatever meal you're eating. You still get to eat it, but trust me, not spiking your insulin between meals, of course, is going to be very helpful to you. So I'm saying that for the new people that might be watching this video, that maybe you're new to this whole thing and you're just trying to gather information at this point. Every time you spike your insulin, your body stores fat, regardless of whether what you ate was carbs or fats. If you spike your insulin, even if it's with a lot of protein, once your insulin gets to a certain level, your body starts to store. So that's important for you to know as well. So if you decide to fast, my suggestion is pick the type of fasting that works best for you. Everybody's different. Personally, like I said, one meal a day works for me great. I do intermittently fast. So basically, I do one meal a day, and then I still do an intermittent fast. So every week, I would do a 48-hour. So I do both. And actually, I do long fast as well. But everybody's different. You might find a restricted time window works better for you. You might find fasting once a week for a few days works better for you, and then eating normally the other days. Everybody's different. Giving your digestive tract a break so that your body can do some recycling is really important. Autophagy is helpful, but at the same time, if you're not ready for that, it's okay. Do what works for you. I really hope you found this video helpful. As I mentioned, my goal here is to make videos that help you to understand why you're doing what you're doing so that we can all be successful at whatever goals are in front of us. Today, we're talking about weight loss and health and recycling. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I will talk to you in the next video.